Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew's Gospel in the New Testament, book of Matthew, chapter 14. Now, I'm sure that I can't be alone in this. Is there anybody else in here that likes to watch thunderstorms coming off in the distance? Really? Well, good. You're weird like me. When I was a kid, it's ever since I was young. I can remember when I was in kindergarten, I was very little, and it was in the days of everybody had those aluminum metal screen doors, you know, and that bottom section was solid, you know, and it had scroll work in it and stuff in the screen. They thought that would keep young people from poking holes in it, but I assure you, Doug, I found a way. Pencils worked wonderfully. Don't do that at home, by the way, kids. But so I can remember in Hawaii, the thunderstorms would come in quickly. And Kat's from the Philippines, she can identify with it, that tropical thing. It could be just like this, and then 15 minutes later, boom, and then it's clear again. And I was standing at the screen door, and my mama looked over and she told me, she said, "Son, get away from that door. You don't want to be standing by that screen door. Lightning might hit you." And I'm watching it all around me, you know, and I'm thinking, sure. Mom couldn't see me. She turned her back. I stood right there. Well, somewhere close by, this bolt had to have hit. And it went kaboom. I jumped and ran to get away from that door. I was sure God heard my mom. Yeah. Well, you think that's funny. Listen, several years passed. I never outgrew it. And I was living in Stafford, Virginia, which is below Washington, D.C., a big thunderstorm was coming up. We had about a half-acre lot, and you could look out the back door to the west, and that's where most of the storms would come from. And it was that almost cold, gray-black, you know what I'm talking about? It's that real dark and foreboding, you know, but it just fascinated me. A lightning bolt would come out of it, you know. So I'm standing at the screen door, and Mama's in the kitchen, and it's almost like deja vu. Mama says, "Son, get away from that door. You're going to get hit by lightning." I'm like, I was 8 by then, you know, I was all grown up. So I turned like this, and I remember vividly, I walked around the corner into the living room. The lightning had come, and about the time I was walking across, it had knocked the power out, so the lights were out. So I went and I laid down on the floor in the living room, and I was just kind of patting my foot. All of a sudden, it was as though somebody had punched that screen door, no joke. Boom! And across the ceiling, I had never seen it before and hadn't seen it since. You've heard of it. Ball lightning rolled across the top of that ceiling, hit that light fixture, and blew both bulbs out. From then on, it was yes, ma'am. I didn't go near the screen door anymore. You ever been in a storm that you weren't ready for in life? You ever been for a storm that tossed you further than you ever thought you could stand? I want to talk to you this morning with God's help on lessons from the storm. Because let me tell you this, and I'm not trying to discourage you, but you are either in a storm now, coming out of one, or heading toward one. Doesn't that put a smile on your face? Because that's the way life is. As a matter of fact, I think the forecast is for thunderstorms tomorrow, isn't it? I think it is. So when you think of that, you think of the message that God gave you today, all right? Because storms are going to come. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. Thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the folks that have made time to come and sit to hear what you have to say. And I'm asking you, Father, not be disappointed, that God, you would use this to be a blessing. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I love you and I believe your word, and I'm asking you to use this to be a blessing. And thank you for your mercies to all of us. In Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. As you know, storms can be very destructive. It's hard for me to believe that this has been 10 years ago next month. And you may or may not remember, but at 7:02 p.m. on February 5th, 2008, an F4 tornado ripped through the heart of Union University, a Christian college in Jackson, Tennessee. It leveled multiple student housing facilities and caused massive damage to the several academic buildings. 51 students were hospitalized that night with injuries, and some of the students were trapped in collapsed buildings for hours as rescue personnel worked to free them. But despite the damage, this was the miracle. Nobody died. I mean, entire buildings were leveled to the concrete, to the slab, and no one died at that Christian university. One co-ed with her roommate crawled into the bathtub when they heard the sirens go off. When they woke up because they had been knocked out, the entire wall on their side was laying on top of the bathtub, and both of them were inside, and neither one of them had more than minor scratches. And their exact words were, "God watched over us in this storm." If you're in a storm, I want to remind you that God watches over you in the storm. This may shock you, but God also sends you into the storm. And God will secure you in the storm. Don't ever forget it. Let's get on board a boat with the disciples on the Lake of Galilee. This is a very unique lake, and it's situated in such a position. It's often called Gennesaret, or also Kinnereth. It's the main source of fresh water in Israel. It's nearly 64 square miles, and at its deepest, it's between 140 and 200 feet deep. It's 680 feet below sea level, and it's always been subject to quick, fast, violent storms because the way it's situated, wind comes rushing between the mountains and off the ocean and comes in there, and from this to violent storms in literally just minutes. And it's always been subject to those. It's in this setting between great spiritual events that Jesus would use a storm to teach Peter and his disciples great truths about the storms of life. And when you go through a storm, Jesus wants you to remember three things. And I will tell you what they are, and then I will tell you again and say more about it. First of all, I want you to remember this. Jesus sent you into this storm. Secondly, Jesus sees you in this storm. And finally, Jesus secures you in this storm. Let's read in Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Now get the picture. Jesus tells these guys, "All right, you guys, I'm going to go here and pray. I want you to go ahead and get in the boat, head on across the lake." Now, I want you to understand, who told them to get into the boat? And where did he tell them to go? So about the time they hit the middle of the lake, what hits them? Storm. Now, you've got to understand, among this group of men, these weren't sissies, folks. These weren't clerks in the county office somewhere that had never even got their fingernails dirty. Among these men were stout, hardy fishermen who had been on this lake a lot. In East Carolina, I had this friend who would be so kind to take me out fishing. I love to go fishing, by the way. So if you're bored and you need a fishing buddy and I'm off, call me. I'll probably go with you. I'm that pitiful. I like to fish. And so he invited me to go out to fish. And he had, it wasn't a fancy boat. It was just a V-hull, probably about a 16-footer. And had a, I think he had a 150 Johnson on it. And we put in, and like really it was a little mud hole with a dirt ramp. And we put in there and we go through these canals. And there were alligators in there. And I mean, it was nasty. Look, it stunk. You ever smell the ocean at low tide? You know what I'm talking about. It just stunk. And I'm thinking, what? He took us out. All of a sudden, it opened up in this beautiful bay. And we started fishing. And Philip, we started nailing. I mean, one after another. Literally, Colt, listen. You throw it in, that line goes, and you go, pow. And it was on. And I'm having a time. And we fished like that all day. We got to where we'd go there about every other week. For a few hours at least. And I remember this one week, he wanted me to go with him. Are you fixing me?
Yes, I cannot forbear.
Am I fixed? You broke something?
Sorry.
Cannot finish?
Sorry.
Thank you. Nobody knows. noticed that at all. Very subtle. And the woman was a subtle creature. Believe me, my dear bride, I love her to pieces, but you do not have to be around her. She's thinking about something. You're going to know what she's thinking about. She's going to tell you, honey, come here. You look nasty. Let me fix it. So we go out just like we had every other time, and I can't wait. Listen, I am waiting to tear up the trout. We were catching sea trout, flounder. Flounder is like a brim with an attitude. And so he gets sideways in that water, and they're about the size of dinner plates. And man, they would fight. And I mean, I just loved it, bud. So it started out that same way. And we got out in the middle. There was an island in the middle that was full of redfish. Anybody ever catch redfish? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're kind of like a carp bass cross with attitude. And so he said, there are redfish out at that island. So we puttered along. We normally stayed in close, but we went all the way across that channel. And I looked off in the distance. You could hear a little rumble of thunder. And that little rumble of thunder started getting louder and louder. And I looked over, and there was that black line. Like, it looked like the color of somebody's, it's got a black gray roof. I mean, it was dark. He started to inch up, and man, the fish were tearing it up. Oh, my God, they were tearing it up. And he goes, we need to go. I said, what? I said, man, come on, they're tearing it up. I'm like Shaw Grisby on the fishing show. One more cast. Just give me one more cast. And we were catching fish. And he said, we have got to go. And I'm thinking, man, that's way off. He'd been fishing there. He was raised on that side of East Carolina. He knew that water. And what it was very shallow. And he knew that when storms kicked up in that little inlet there, it'd get bad. Me, I just wanted fish. So anyway, I'm thinking, okay. I remember this vividly because it started raining a little bit, and all I had was one of those little cheap poncho things, and it was purple. I put it on, and he told me I was the biggest Barney he had ever seen. And then we were putting along, and it wasn't bad. All of a sudden, he pushed up the power. He said, we got to go. We got to go now. He said, hang on. I said, why? He could see it. You could see a line of white caps coming at us. That means the wind is really picking up. And we're going sideways to the waves. And if you know anything about on the water, on the ocean, you don't want to go sideways in a V-haul. You want to be hitting those waves. Well, that's where we had to go. The waves were coming this way. And no joke, he turned into them and he would zigzag. He'd go a little bit straight, get between the waves, he'd turn this way. No joke. That thing, that boat, come up out of the water and would hit. Bam! 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 That fast. And I'm telling you, white knuckles, listen, I looked like somebody under conviction during the invitation holding the pew. I mean, my knuckles were white. I couldn't hardly see straight. The wind was beating my face. My purple Barney thing was beating me to death. The wind. And listen, and he was right. You know why? He'd been on there enough to know when you see that, it's time to go. I made us stay there a little longer, and no joke, we almost got killed because I wanted to stay longer. Now, they're doing what Jesus said to do. They're heading out on the water. The storm hits, and these guys inside the boat who were fishermen, you think they knew what was fixing to come on? Yes. They were in the, not only coming on, they were in the middle of it. Now, before you shoot them down and say, well, they didn't have very much faith, they at least got in the boat. They were following Jesus. You may be here today, you've never got in the boat. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Before you get critical of everybody that's in the boat trying to live for Jesus, maybe you ought to get in the boat too. Sometimes, even in the boat, it's not as easy as you think to live for the Lord. Say amen. Amen. And so they head out, and it says in verse 24, it says, and the wind was contrary, just like us, trying to go this way, and the wind's coming sideways. It wasn't leading them where they needed to go. And it says in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. This was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Jesus shows up, walking on the water. Now, I want to stop and just say this to start with. Who sent them into the storm? If you're living for God and you're going through life doing what God wants you to do, don't think your life will be storm-free. These jokers on TV calling themselves preachers, telling you that all God's people should ever have is good things and big houses like them, they're liars. The Bible says in this world, among God's people, you will go through much tribulation, a lot of storms, to get to heaven. So don't think you're less than a good Christian and less than right with God because storms come your way. Sometimes those storms come and we say, what is wrong with us? Well, if you're trusting Jesus and following Jesus, who let you go into the storm? That's something to remember. And we look at this, and they were there, and Jesus said, now I'm going to go pray, fellas. He said, you head out. So again, who sent them? And where did they end up? In the storm. Let you let that simmer a little bit. Think on that. Because I want you to understand that sometimes storms come as correction to discipline us. But not always. Sometimes he sends the storm to us. You remember a fellow named Jonah? Him and the whale? Remember that story? And what happened? He was running from God, and God decided he was going to get his attention. Guess what God sent? A storm. Sometimes God sends storms in our lives to get our attention. Buddy, let me tell you, this purple Barney standing up in a 16-foot boat on this inlet with 8-foot waves, God had my attention. I was talking to him. I'm not sure, but I think I spoke in tongues 12 times. I was hollering and everything and saying, oh God, help us. Because it was beat. And I looked at him and he was worried. Doug, that boy's raised that. Now, if you go hunting with Doug or Ron or one of these guys, and they're out here in the woods, and they hear or see something, and they get worried, you better be worried. He was worried, I got worried. And so, as you're going through here, I want you to understand, these boys were worried. Now, if it hadn't been bad enough for them, here they are getting whipped on for doing what God said. Sometimes storms are for correction. But sometimes storms are for perfection. Sometimes he sends us to the storm. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes he sends the storm to us to get our attention. Other times he sends us to the storm. And first time he does that, when he sends the storms to us, it's usually correction. But in the second place, it's perfection to change us. Sometimes it's not because we're evil and bad people, but God wants to make us better people. You don't make a good sailor by keeping them in calm seas. How do you make good sailors? Where do you send them? Into the storms. Because if you can survive on a boat and a ship on the storms, you can survive on the smooth water. But the problem is, most of us, because of our nature, what do we want? We want smooth sailing. We don't want any storms. But let me ask you, do they come anyway? Absolutely. So sometimes they come as correction, and he sends the storm to us. Sometimes it's perfection. He sends us to the storm. And sometimes it storms a direction to redirect us. The storm sends us. Did you hear what I said? You had plans to do thus and so, but then the weather changed. God's pretty smart. You know, Wednesday night, it was terrible Wednesday. Same planet. It was terrible. We canceled service. We don't hardly do that. We canceled service. It was bad back here in the hills. I got a friend who lives up in northern Indiana. God bless him. He's been among Yankees too long. On Facebook, I put, we're canceling church. He made fun of me. He said, it's snow knee deep. And he said, it's 20 below and we're still going to church. I told him, buddy, it's apples and oranges. Listen, it even looks like it's going to snow up there. Boy, they throw the salt down. They got sand trucks, plows all up and down. I said, it ain't that way in Coffee County, Tennessee. And where he lives, up near Chicago, it's flat as a flitter. If God was going to flip a pancake with any part of this country, he'd use up there to do it because it's flat. And I said, it ain't flat where my people live. And so I said, it's different. But here's what happens sometimes. Those storms come and you go out. If you'd have gone out Wednesday night, here's what my concern was. You could hit a patch of ice, spun out, got killed on your way to do what God wanted you to do. And maybe the storm came to God put his hand up and say, not so quick, Chip. We need to change the direction here. And sometimes in our lives, storms come to change direction in our lives. Does that make sense? And maybe it's because in that time in our life, maybe our attention wasn't where it should have been on God. We weren't necessarily bad folks, but we had kind of gotten so involved in other things that we weren't paying attention to God that much. And that was kind of slipping out of our lives. And God sends a storm to get our attention, to make correction, and sometimes a change in direction. To get us to say, whoa, wait a minute. So we see here that Jesus, we got to remember, he sent me into this storm. But then there's storms of instruction. It strengthens you, teaches you something. The storm builds us. Let me ask you this. Do you think after this happens, the disciples were any different? Well, let's look and see. Let's read on. It said in verse 25, again, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And again, this is between 3 and 6 a.m., just before dawn. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, could you imagine? It's not bad enough. We're about to sink. Now the booger man's coming after us. Good night. The waves are trying to flip us, and look yonder is a boogeyman coming to kill us. Sometimes what you think is coming to kill you is actually coming to save you. Quit trying to be God and let God be God and run things the way He wants to. Because I want you to understand how powerful this is, because Jesus sent him into the storm. We also need to see that Jesus sees me in the storm. In Mark's gospel, when it gives this account, listen to what it says. You don't have to turn, but listen to what it said. Speaking of Jesus, he's up there praying. It says this: then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. That's the good thing about the gospel. It's not contradictory. What it does, it fills in gaps if you look at all the gospels. So in Matthew, it says, he left to go pray, sent them out, storm came. In Mark, it says, same thing, but then it says, he saw them straining. You ever been in a storm and you're straining with all you got? God sees you. God sees you. He knows you're hurting. He knows what it's doing to you. He knows how it's tearing you apart. But what we do, we think because he doesn't jump right in and stop the storm, we say God doesn't care. God, where are you? I'm here to tell you, Jesus was watching them from on top of mountaintop. He could see crystal clear, though he was miles away. He could see them straining, trying to row against this storm, and he saw what they were going through. He does get it. He does understand. Notice that he does see me when I'm dealing with the storm in my own way, in my own strength. By the way, that's our first inclination. When a storm comes, we try to fix it, don't we? We try to stop it. We try to correct it. But then all of a sudden, we realize it's getting bigger and bigger, and we can't correct it. We can't make it better. We can only do anything but watch it get bigger. And that's what goes on here. So he sees, listen, what was Jesus doing? There in the storm, what was Jesus doing? He also was watching, but what else was he doing? What had he been doing? Anybody remember? I wonder who he was praying for. Got any idea? He was praying for those disciples. He knew where he was sending them. He knew what they were going through. He knew what was going to happen. And he sent them there, but he didn't stop there. He was watching them. Now what's interesting, when he realized they couldn't take anymore, he didn't come at the start of the storm. He didn't come when the first gust came. He didn't come when the first wave washed in and was filling the boat up with water. He sat and watched. But exactly the time when he needed to come, he showed up. Did you hear me? And he will do the same in your life. You hide and watch. Oh, he's late, he's late. Well, that's what Martha and Mary said when Jesus wasn't there, when Lazarus was sick and he died. They came to him and said, you weren't here. And our brother was sick and we told you and you didn't come. We were in a storm, so to speak. Jesus said, where is he? Well, he's dead and buried. Well, where is he? Where is he buried? Well, he stinks by now, Lord. You're too late. Jesus walks to the grave and he hollers at the grave. He said, move that stone out of the way. He said, come out, Lazarus. And Lazarus gets up and walks out alive. He is not 4 days late. He's right on time, even when you think he's late. He shows up on time. All the time. And we saw that Jesus sees them there struggling. And it's interesting. What is he doing while I'm in the storm? In Romans 8, we have these words. It says, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He sees the storm we're going through and he's praying to the Father and telling, Father, there's Chip down there. Now he's in a storm. He doesn't have enough strength. Look at him, Lord. Look how hard he's rowing. He can't do it by himself. God, we got to help him. And the Lord says, go for it. I'm telling you, he does. What are you going through? What have you been through? See, many of us carry scars from storms in our lives, don't we? Oh, yeah. Boy, when that boat was bouncing around, I remember he had, like, they were regular, they weren't fancy seats, padded seats, they were just basically boards across there. And I remember we hit one wave, and came down, I hit both kneecaps on the edge of that board at the same time. Not just days, but weeks, I walked around like this, sore, because of the storm. Some of you are still sore because of storms you've gone through 40 years ago, 20 years ago. You were beat up bad. And yeah, you're still hurting from it. Maybe it was abuse. Maybe it was something else that came on you that you didn't deserve, and it was a storm. And the whole time you're wondering where God was. Let me tell you something. God sees you and cares. He knows. And I want you to notice as you look on, it says in verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, listen to this. Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. What? Now, this may be hard, but if you're in a storm right now, I'm going to tell you, cheer up. Don't be afraid. So, Chip, that's easy for you. You ain't going through a storm. No, I'm telling you from God's authority, cheer up, don't be afraid, because Jesus cares and he sees you, and he's going to do what he needs to do when you're in this storm. He may not stop the storm, not now, but eventually it will stop. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want you to notice what the key word is there. It's not the shadow, it's not death. The key word is I walk through. I walk through. And what does that mean? Does it mean you stay there? No. What does it mean? You go through it. I'm going to ask you this. How many in here have ever been through a storm financially, physically, emotionally, relationships, whatever it is? You've been through a storm and you know it and you went through it. Raise your hand. It didn't last. You thought it was going to. You thought it would never end. You ever had one of those nights with a sick loved one where it seemed like the sun would never come up? It seemed so long, but the sun did come up. And I'm here to tell you, in your storm, the sun will show up. Because the tops of those waves that were washing in the boat, Jesus used it for stepping stones to walk out to them. Amen. What will bury you carries him. Thank God for that. And Jesus is still alive. He's not dead. Amen. So Jesus sent me in the storm. He sees me in the storm. But thank God he secures me in the storm. I love what happens next. I love this. Peter, he was the big mouth. His real name must have been Chip. Look at verse 27. It says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Then Peter had this genius idea. Listen. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out there with you on the water. And the Bible says in verse 29, Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What happens to Peter next? You know what happened. Started sinking. Why did he sink? Started watching the waves. Took his eyes off of Jesus. Yeah, you guys got this. Then why don't we do it when we go in a storm? Why is it we keep taking our eyes off of Jesus and watching the storm? Why is it? Because it's human nature. Because it's what we can see. It's what we can feel. It's what we can experience. It's what we can touch. And it's real to us. And sometimes help doesn't look real. But I'm telling you this. Listen, when you go through it, you lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus will come when He is needed to you. Say amen. Amen. And I love this. It says in verse 30. But when he, meaning Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He's halfway there. He's walking on water. And he starts doubting. Do you understand that you are here this morning because God gave you another breath and another heartbeat? Do you understand the very fact that you're in this room is a miracle? Hey, just like lightning tried to kill me when I was a kid, I guarantee you the devil's tried to kill some of you more than one time, and you're here. It's a miracle of God you're even here. Why? Because God has a plan for your life the same as He had a plan for those 12 men. He's got a plan for you. Now, before you make fun of Peter, at least Peter got out of the boat. Some hadn't even got in the boat. And the ones in the boat, only one of them was willing to get out of the boat. Remember, it's not the wrong thing to get out of the boat if Jesus says, come on. And Jesus did. But then he started worrying about what he saw and felt more than what Jesus said. And I love this. Look at this. It says in verse 32. Excuse me. Let's get 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, look what happened. When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now this is interesting. Look at me. Was this the first storm that the disciples were in? No. Was this the first storm that they were in related to Jesus? No. You don't need to turn, but in chapter 8, they were in a storm before this. You probably remember it when I tell you Jesus was asleep. You starting to remember? Jesus was asleep in the back of the ship. The waves started coming in, beating and everything. And Jesus stood up and went, peace, be still. And it went flat as a pancake. And you know what? You know what they said at that time? This is interesting. In that time, in that storm, listen to what they said. In response to that, they said this. Let me see if I can find it quickly. It said, basically, the disciples said, listen to this. When he woke up, calmed the storm, listen to what they said. What manner of man is this? But I want you to notice the difference. Look in verse 33 and listen to what they said now. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art who? Did you get it? They went through one storm, but it wasn't enough. They come through this storm. Now they recognize him for who he is. Have you ever thought that the storm may be there to get you and me to recognize him for who he is? That's good, folks. And it's right there in the book in front of you. Let me give you some thoughts here. What storms do to us, the storm cowers our senses. It gets our attention. They said it's a ghost. That was the wrong conclusion. The storm challenges our security. Peter carried a lot of fear. What was Peter afraid of? We find out through the Bible he was afraid of circumstances and he was afraid of people. In the end, when Jesus was betrayed that night, Jesus said, you're going to betray me. And Peter said, what? Not me, man. I'll die for you. Jesus turned and looked at him. He said, for the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Oh, not me, Lord. I'll die for you. But I want you to notice what did happen. He did deny the Lord later. That's well past this story in the Bible. He does because I want you to understand, becoming one with God is not an instantaneous thing, and learning everything you need to know doesn't happen the second you pray and ask Jesus into your heart. It's a process where you recognize Him. Oh yes, He's the Son of Man. Then you get to a point in a storm, you recognize, oh, He's the Son of God. Not only that, it's like the old Passover where they had to get a lamb, and they were told, I want you to get a lamb. And they would get a lamb. And then they were told, take the lamb. Then later on says, you are to kill your lamb. What happens is this world out here may recognize that Jesus is who He says He is, but that doesn't mean they're saved. Doesn't mean they have Jesus in their heart. He's just a way. Some people even say this, well, you Christians, you believe that Jesus is the way. There's many ways. No, there's not. So they would say of Jesus, well, He's a Savior. Then there's religious people that will even recognize and say, oh yeah, Jesus is the Savior. But the question before you this morning is He your Savior? Do you have a relationship with Him? In childlike faith, knowing you're a sinner, knowing He's a Savior, and asking Him to come into your heart and life and to care for you and love you. Let me give you some conclusions. Listen carefully. It is safer in the storm while in God's will than huddled in the strongest shelter on land. I'll say that again. It's safer in the storm while in God's will than huddled in the strongest shelter on land. Secondly, each storm helps me more than it hurts me. Third, storms will come, but so does Jesus. Fourth, sometimes we need to get out of the boat, our source of security, and get out of our comfort zone in the storm and simply look to Jesus. And finally, focusing on the storm will always pull me down, but Jesus always lifts me up. Told you in starting about how that tornado hit Union University. Storms can be very productive. They're not only destructive, they're not only instructive, but they can be productive. Listen carefully. It says, the day following the destruction, the Union University president said, as I looked at the rubble late Tuesday night, and especially when the sun came up on Wednesday morning, I said, there is no way we didn't have 200 people die. Union President David Dockery said in recalling an event, I'm convinced, and nobody will ever convince me otherwise, that God's angels were unleashed to come as ministering spirits to His people that night and to protect those students in the most precarious of situations. I am confident that's what happened. Out of the rubble across campus, I am praying that we will see renewal. Dockery said during that time, we lost the buildings, but we did not lose the Union spirit, and the school still goes on. Serving Christ and teaching Christian leaders. And you know what it came from? A storm. Would you stand with me? Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I may or may not be familiar with a storm that you've been in or you're going through now. But I want you to know Jesus sees you. I also want you to know that He'll come to you. And I am fairly confident if I were to ask if there was anyone in here that could attest the fact they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus does come to you in the storm. I guarantee you there would be folks all over this house raise their hand. Because you know why? It's a biblical principle. It's a truth from God. The Bible says God is not a man that He should lie. He is going to be true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, people will lie to you, but God never will. Never will. And His promise is this. You can look for Him in the storm. He'll come to you. Oh, you may see Him in a small way. It could be an arm around your shoulder. Someone praying with you. Someone just calling to check on you or sending a text message. Just to see how you're doing and saying that God had laid you on their heart. And here they didn't even know you were in the storm, but God knew. And God's aim is to take us into the storm and make us better than when we went in, when we come out. Father, we pray today that from this, God, we would learn that You see us in the storm. God, you do. You see us in the storm. And Lord, in that storm, not only do you see us, but God, you secure us and you come to us when we're most afraid. But God, we have to remember that if we're following you, you sent us into this storm. And God, help us to learn to trust you. Oh God, it's not easy. Our human nature, God, we frail about and we splash and try to tread water, God, and we try to do what we can do. But God, there's some storms where there is no treading water. When the report comes back from the doctor and it's not good. God, when there's more month than there is money, God, it's not good. Lord, when our health is not good, when our finances are hurt, when our relationships are broken, God, I am glad that you'll come to us. Oh God, give us courage to trust you and to get out of the boat and come to you. But thank God, even when we don't have enough courage to come to you, Lord, you come to us. I'm asking you this morning that you would free somebody of the bondages of the storms in their lives that they think of as having beaten them down and kept them from doing what they could do and becoming who they could be. But God, help them to see that you saw them in the storm and you came, but maybe they didn't recognize it. And God, you're speaking to them now to remind them that the storm is not all there is and they've come through it. And if they're in it now, give them the confidence that it will end someday. Give them the courage to trust you in the middle of the storm. And God, as we face storms in lives, help us to surrender ourselves to you and trust you. As we row as hard as we can and can't get any tread, we can't get any distance, we can't get any further, the waves are coming in. God, help us to look for you to walk across the top of the waves and come to us. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Before I finish this prayer, maybe there's somebody here, you're in a storm, or you've been through a storm, and you'd like to just come and say, oh God, I know what the preacher's talking about. God, I've lived it in my life. I'm living it now. And God, I need you to know, I want to trust you. I need your help. If that's you, why don't you slip your hand up and simply say, I need your help, God. God bless you. Are there others? God bless you all over the house. My friend, God sees you, and God cares. If you raised your hand, everybody's head bowed, eyes closed. If you raised your hand, I want you to look at me. Just look up at me. I want you to look straight at my eyes, and I want you to know this. God knew you'd be here today. God had this word for you today. He wants you to know that he loves you and that he's coming to you if he hadn't already. And he's going to take care of you. And I'm telling you, one day the storm is going to end. You may think it never will, but it's going to. And God simply wants you to trust him. Would you do that in the meantime? God bless you. Let's pray. Father, as we finish this prayer, thank you for these folks in their honesty, Lord, and raised their hand and said, yes, I need this. God, you brought this. You delivered this. You said what to preach. God, you knew who'd be here. And Lord, we may not have an ocean out there outside of us, but God, there's some in here. The white caps are beating their ship, Lord, and the water's coming in, and they don't know what to do. God, help them to look for you walking across right over the top of it, God, and coming to them. And Father, I ask you that when this happens and they see it, they'll know that the hand of the Lord hath done this. And give them courage and strength. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to dismiss in just a minute. But again, I want to remind you, we'll dismiss for about 5 minutes. But then 5 minutes later, come on back in here. Now, church folks, we're going to have a very important items of business we need to discuss. Good stuff. And we want you to be informed on it. And we want you to be involved with these decisions. All right. Let's dismiss in prayer. Medford, would you dismiss us, please?